will look for in a rider is a sign that, although low-born, this person has potential to be a gentleman, appreciates good food, and has gone to some trouble to visit some cathedrals and all that. And I'm no gentleman whatsoever. I present no credentials to have a future in the upper class.
You've been listening to a 1991 interview with the late Kurt Vonnegut Jr., conducted by myself, Richard Walensky, and my then co-host, Richard A. Lupoff. I'm Richard Walensky on Cover to Cover.
For more information about this show, go to bookwaves.com, where you'll also find an extended version of this interview. Bookwaves is produced by Richard Walensky in the studios of KPFA Pacifica Radio in Berkeley, California.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Hello, I'm Eugene Rashad. Join me every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. for the best in jazz on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 on your FM dot.
But I dig, and I know you dig, because I got 4 requests for this thing already today. Strutting right there.
That was KBOO volunteer disc jockey George Page. Page has been playing jazz and popular black music on KBOO for the past 12 years.
What I do to the audience I draw, hopefully, is to please them with all types of black music. Mostly what you can't hear as a rule on larger black-oriented stations in L.A. or San Francisco. I play a lot of blues and a lot of jazz. All of it's black-oriented, but it's not the cuts you're going to hear on the other jazz shows. It's not the cuts you're going to hear on other stations, because other stations just don't play jazz and blues in a black vein the way I do here.
Listen as your day unfolds, challenge what the future holds, try and keep your head up to the sky. Lovers, they may cause you tears, go ahead, release your fears, stand up and be counted, don't be ashamed to cry. You gotta be bad, you gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser. You gotta be hard, you gotta be tough, you gotta be stronger. You gotta be cool, you gotta be calm, you gotta stay together. All I know, love will save the day.
Good morning, and welcome to the February edition of Black Book Talk. This is our Black History Month edition, and we are delighted to focus on Everybody Reads this year. For those of you who might be new to the area, Everybody Reads is the Multnomah County Library's annual community reading event. We find one book, we invite everybody to read, we provide the books, and so we're going to have Multnomah County Librarian Carla Davis with us today, and she's going to give us an overview of that program. This year's title is Lovely One by Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson. And we'll talk a little bit more about that book later on today. But that's the big program. She'll be coming to town in March. But leading up to that, there are a variety of programs that are available throughout the library system. And we're going to tell you about several of those today. We are fortunate to have with us Tony Hill, an Afro-Indigenous artist, educator, and spoken word MC, who is rooted in Portland's creative and activist community. And she's going to tell us about several programs that she knows about because she is involved in them. But now, I'm Patricia Hill Welch, Librarian Emeritus. Welcome. And with us today,
Emma Jackson Ford, Bookwoman. Welcome.
And O.B. Hill, Community Historian. Welcome to Black Book Talk.
All right. Carla, I'm going to ask you to one, introduce yourself a little bit more first so we know who we're listening to, and then tell us a little bit about the overall Everybody Reads program.
Hello, everyone. My name is Carla Davis, and I am a librarian with the Multnomah County Library System, also a Black Cultural Library Advocate, which we refer to as BCLA, our team. And so I will talk more about that, given the chance. And right now I'll talk about the Everybody Reads program, which actually began in 2003. Are you hearing me okay? And so it's a community-based reading project of the Multnomah County Library that engages any and all to read the same book at the same time, as was mentioned, right? And the books are made possible by the Library Foundation. This year, they provided 8,000 copies for any and all free copies, first come, first served. And of course, I also mentioned the featured book this year will be, again, The Lovely One, a memoir by our first African-American Supreme Court Justice, Ketanji Brown, as was mentioned. So what follows that is a host of events and programs and different things that invite people to just come and discuss and talk about themes and what have you. Lots of fun events. Excited to mention that this year, the BCLA team is hosting most of those events at the library. So
Carla, I want to start, before you go a little any farther, what is BCLA mean? What is that, besides the words, what does it really mean? Who are you all folks?
Oh, yes. Black Cultural Library Advocates. So we are a team of folks that actually started about eight of us that started out of the idea that we needed to be more cohesive. You know, the Black staff needed to be more cohesive to work together, basically to provide strengthening of, you know, programming and that kind of thing for the Black community. Our mission is basically to leverage Multnomah County's resources to preserve and strengthen the Black community. So again, we needed to more cohesiveness. So a team was formed so that there could be guidance given and direction around trying to make that happen. And so there was a study done that was in 2011 where they discovered that there was a low percentage of Black use at, you know, use by Black families in libraries. So so again, we, you know, Patricia, you were there when we the team was formed, and you were so instrumental in just being a hub of the Black community and Black library use with the North Portland Library. So we appreciate you with that. So
but what excites me is, look, I want to know, how does this play out in terms of service to the community? So, I mean, can people go into various locations and ask for a Black library advocate to help them? Because some people are still intimidated by libraries.
Yes, they can. Absolutely can. And so we are dispersed throughout the whole library system, from access services folks to library assistants. That may not mean much to a layperson coming in, but we can help you with things like computer help, readers advisory, programming is a big one that we do, and then community outreach. So we're reaching out to the community as well as, and we would like to bring folks into these beautiful new spaces. Especially, we want the Black families to know that they are welcome. Their tax dollars are paying for these beautiful new spaces, and they are, you know, we see you, we hear you, and you know, we have, you know, we're there for you. We want people to come in. We want more people to come in. So
I'll let you get back to Everybody Reads. I just wanted to make sure that people had a sense of what it meant for them. Okay, thank you.
So yeah. So anyway, so with Everybody Reads again, you know, after people pick up their books, then you want to follow the library's website, which I can give all that information, which names all of the different programs and everything like that. And then the culmination of that will be the in-person appearance by the author And that will happen at the Arlene Snitzer Concert Hall. So this Judge Justice Brown's event is going to happen March 12th at 7:30. I have read and seen that it's a sold out event. However, through what's the organization Portland 5, portland5.com, there may be tickets available closer to the event. So, and then we have a number of events that I can mention. Do you want me to do that now or?
I don't know, I'm gonna turn to my co-host. Do we want to talk more about the general? Do we want to talk about the book? Do we want to invite Tony in? I mean, this is a full program.
Well, I wanted to ask a question about picking up the books. So when someone comes in to pick up the copy of the book, do they have to use their library card or can they just pick it up?
It's they're free, actually. So they can just pick it up. Now, there was a person who is the point person for this whole event, and they were able to gather some more books because they did start dispersing them in January. So you want to hurry, go today and see if you can get a library. You can even call maybe your nearest library and see if they have a copy and maybe hold it for you. I'm not sure how they do that. But yes, first come, first serve, basically.
And are these bring them backs or are they really free?
Really free. Yours to keep.
Really free. OB, anything you want to ask about, anything, get in now or wait till later?
Well, I can say something now. This is a first for me. This is the first Supreme Court Justice Black female at this event. And then the other first is this is the first time I've been able to see that my daughter is a part of this Everybody Reads event. So this is two firsts. And then I bring up the idea that the first Supreme Court Justice was Thurgood Marshall from 1967 to 1991. So that's three firsts.
This is kind of wonderful. Well, something came through and it went away. So I tell you what, Tony, you are going to be involved in several programs, and we do want people to know, in addition to, you know, if you're lucky enough, if they release some more tickets, we do hope that as many people as possible can go out and actually see the justice. But if you're reading the book and you're excited, you know, certainly Carla can tell us a little bit later on about, you know, the book club kind of things, the direct book club kind of things. But there are all kinds of wonderful programs that have been developed just sort of attended, you know, as an extension. So Tony, you've been involved in some, you are involved in some wonderful programs. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're doing and how you became involved?
Yes, ma'am. So I grew up in the neighborhood. I attended Jefferson High School. I graduated from Portland State University. And so I utilized the library quite a bit coming up. And it's also when I attended PCC, I used the library a lot. The North Portland Library, I tended to go there more so than I used the now developed library for PCC. But back in the day, they did not have a good library for the university. They finally got funding. And then I moved away for a long time and I came back like 10 years later and our library was closed in North Portland, and I was sad. I was so sad. So when it opened back up, I brought my children, both of my boys, and we've just been in attendance of a lot of programming there. And I was so proud. Right. To be able to show them that, you know, because I tell them a lot of stories. They grew up in Vegas, so they only hear Portland stories. And so I was like, oh, and I went to this school and I did this. And they're like, yeah, mom, whatever. And I brought them to the library and it was closed. And I was like, okay.
But when it was closed for better.
When it opened back up.
Yes.
Yes. I was proud because I was all like, right. Hey. I even brought them over to the new library over near Knott.
Albina,
you know, community center, because I'm like, I have to show them how I grew up. What are the things that helped shape me? And so how I got involved was Jody Rediford. He works for Monoma County Library, and I also have the privilege of being in a band with him.
Okay.
And so he was listening to some of my spoken word music and different offers that I have, and he and I and Mike Crenshaw and some others formed a band. And so he was telling me about this Everybody Reads programming, and he was telling me about the Supreme Court Justice, and he was super excited. And as we began to speak, I said, well, tell me more about her. And as I'm learning more about her, I seen so many parallels. There were things that I understood, like, oh, I could help with that. So she was a championship orator in school. I coach novice debate. So I was like, well, are you guys doing any programming surrounding debate? And he was like, no, actually, I hadn't thought about that. And I was like, well, I could teach that. You know, and then he was telling me more about the book and her background in the Black community and gospel music shaping her experience and stuff. And I said, y'all got something for gospel music? I got you. LaRonda Steele is coaching. She's the choir director right now for the Portland Interfaith Gospel Choir. I said, I met her years and years ago by sitting in and watching her sing. I wrote her set list out. I went home and learned her material. I came back, and when she asked if somebody wanted to sing background, I got up there and I sang all night with her. And I got a lot of gigs that way, right? So I leveraged that relationship. I said, oh, well, if you guys need anything for gospel music, I have access to LaRonda. And they were like, what? I was like, yes, that's my girl. You know, so it was really me interjecting myself into the space and wanting to utilize my relationships and also my skill set to be able to support things like this, I think, and being able to use my social media platforms and things like that. I have like 5,000 friends on Facebook and, you know, a couple thousand followers on Instagram and TikToks and things like that. And I was like, I think there's a way that I can use who I am in the community to help encourage more people to come and participate. And even if I have to put myself on the line to be able to contribute to that, I want to be I want to be in that. I want to show that people can grow up and give back. And so that's
tell us about your programs.
So the first program will actually be an oration workshop. The first one is a mic check, and it is speech, hip hop, and the power to persuade. So that's Tuesday, February 10th. At the North Portland Library, 512 North Killingsworth Street. It'll be from 6 p.m. to 7:30. And in that, I'll just do an introductory to how hip hop is used in debate rounds and how music can inform, you know, civic engagement. We will do a few mock debate rounds. I'll just use a lot of games and things and just kind of get people used to the idea of using their voice and using music and other things to support their arguments. And just the idea that your voice matters, your opinion matters, but there are ways that you have to organize those thoughts and those opinions if you are going to articulate yourself a certain way, or if you're going to participate at high levels to improve our experience here. And being of the diaspora, I think that's important for our voices to be moved forward. It's also important for the young people to know that their opinions and the things that they're learning are valued, and there are spaces that those are honored. And so that's why I wanted to do that class.
Okay. You're doing another one that's similar, one on oration.
So it's not similar. So
that's even better. Clarify.
Oration is its own separate thing. Learning how to do public speaking in of itself is a completely different skill set. Incorporating elements of hip hop music as it stands independently as a culture, because hip hop is definitely we brought it all the way up to the, you know, to the UN to be honored as its own separate culture. So hip hop as a culture and incorporating that into oration. See.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So they are different. In that, I'll be using basic warm-ups, learning different things like articulation, this idea of who is considered a, I would say, like, who's considered a teacher or who's considered an expert on something. And you don't have to be an expert to be a better speaker. You might need to do a speech in front of the church and just read, you know, what's going on, you know, in the church this week and be nervous. How do you get through those nerves? How do you work through that? You may have, when you get nervous, your voice starts going like this, and then you're talking in a high pitch. In learning how to calm down and use your natural tone, learning how to project, learning how to hold your hands or your body if you're sitting or standing. Learn, you know. So I'll go more in how to embody speaking in front of people in the oration workshop, which would be separate from the way that hip hop. We're using that as a tool to, let's say, like, KRS-One or someone like Tupac, what did they say about what's going on in the world by using music as a tool to get their opinions out in the world? What are they saying through their music? So that's the reason why the hip hop one is different. Then lastly, March 1st from 1 to 2:30, we'll be doing Songs of the Spirit, which will be a gospel day with LaRonda Steele. I'm so excited about that in particular. We're inviting the community to come and learn. It'll be a little bit of performative style and a little of workshop. So we'll do call and response. We'll teach some warm-ups for your voice. We'll teach a couple songs that everybody can sing together, and then we'll both be performing together and separate. We'll have musicians there. I believe her husband Mark Steele will be present. My son Takilo Hendricks will be on percussion, and I'm gonna invite a few other guests from the community to sing. We got a fellowship. This is gonna be a fellowship time. Sometimes church don't have to just be in that space. We're gonna have some church.
And you know something, I want to hold you on that, because if we have time, I want you to give a little sharing, a little demonstration. And I should say, Miss Carla, I know you too are from a church background and a sin family. Uh-huh. And you were kind enough to actually sing. I'm not talking about that one, but sing with me in my one and only attempt at spoken word. but Tony, hold on for that. But then Carla, okay, we've talked. Tony's talked about her programs, but there are just a number of other programs and variety, and I'm sure for all ages. I'd like you to mention that. And I also know that there's some just Black History Month. This is the month. This is a whole range of Black history. So if you could bring us up to date on some of that.
Oh, for sure, for sure. A lot of credit going out to the Black Cultural Library Advocates, BCLA team, especially those who work in the branches, who have put together a host of Black History programs, as well as Everybody Reads programs. So, and I will list some of them. And so there's the Path to Justice, a panel for teens. I'm just gonna kind of hit the titles. I may hit yours again, Tony, but the speech hip hop, that's yours, right? Handwriting the Constitution is another one. A Lovely Discussion, and that is a discussion of Justice Brown's book on March 4th at the Gresham Library. So we hope that is well attended. All of them are well attended. There is Black Family Story Time, which happens at many of our branches. And this particular time in February, they're gonna be bringing Justice Brown's story to a younger audience. We also have, so those Black Family Story Times are ongoing, but we have virtual Black Story Time going through the month of February. So, and then there's an evening with Dr. Randall Horton, an award-winning author, musician, professor, and other things going on. There's a host of Black History programming. I left a link because there's so many. We have some cooking demonstrations. We have just a host of different regular Black History events. We also would like everybody that, you know, to take a look at the books that are displayed. They put a lot of work into some of those displays. So we want to get people coming into the branches. Okay, and so those are just, I just wanted to just kind of briefly mention some of those programs for Everybody Reads, and then the Black History programs, there's a lot to look at as well. So,
you know, the one thing that we haven't done today that we normally do is talk about the book. Of course, we all know the outcome of this, but still, MNOB, anything you want to share to sort of titillate our listeners as to why you think you know the whole story, but you don't, and you need to come and pick up this book?
Well, one of the things I thought when I first started the book, I laughed because I'm glad they chose this book because it's a biography. We know what's going to happen in the end. I don't have to cringe during the book about it may not work out with this character. And I also loved it that I love it that a lot of children and family program is going to happen around this book, because as a young person, she had a lot of interests, drama, performance, law, and she was able to perform, do all those things. Just to remind us that, yeah, you can want to be many, many things, and you could be all of those. Life is long.
OB, is there anything that you wanted to share?
Well, I haven't picked up my copy of the book, but I'm going to leave and go to the Kenton Library and pick one up today if they got one.
Okay. And I just like to say, and I don't know, maybe this is, that's not the kid in me. I think it's just how people are. I love the fact that she has so many photographs. I mean, some of them, you can tell they're very, very old members of her family, but she gives her family history. And, you know, she shows how these ties have contributed. So I just loved not only reading the words, but seeing her life in pictures. And I also love that at the very beginning of the book, she gives a legal history, you know, of Black life repression and all in this country. But in doing so, she gives the context for where we are now, where we've been, and where we are now. And I have to admit, it was kind of heartbreaking when I realized that really in Reconstruction, there was a period when our lives were on a day-to-day basis, apparently, you know, as good as we feel that we have it now. And the deliberate removal of all of that. But I mean, still, you know, if you don't know your history, you're doomed to repeat it. So I just thought this is an excellent book, really for all of us, but particularly for young people, to give you a sense of where we really are in history, but also the possibilities. And I am so glad that, and I thank Carla for this, that we accepted her recommendation and we started our program with, oh, Lord, I love the song, but I always think it's just You Gotta Do, but what is the exact name of the song that we started with?
You Gotta Be.
By Just Ray. I mean, that song is, I don't know, 20 years old. I'm not quite sure how old it is, but it is a great song in terms of just saying, you know, you got possibilities. You got to do certain things, but you have possibilities. So I just love that this was a very positive book. Not fiction. This woman is real. Her life is real. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so proud as a librarian that the library is able to offer so many wonderful things for free. But before we end, if we have a moment, I'm going to ask Tony, could you kind of give us a little taste of what we might feel at the hear at the gospel event? And Carl, I know you can sing. This isn't imposing.
I'll do a quick medley. Let's start right. We'll start way back.
Okay, we got about 2 minutes, maybe.
Wait in the water. Wait in the water, children. Wait. in the water. God is gonna trouble the water. I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Thank you so much.
So
okay, folks, your tax dollars have paid.
We'll see you next month. Thank you.
OB.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, Toni Hill is definitely your daughter. I don't know, OB, I almost expected to hear you sort of jump in there because I forgot you could sing too. Thanks, everybody, for joining us for the February edition of Black Book Talk. We look forward to joining again in March, and now everybody reads. Everybody should. Everybody can enjoy it. Please take advantage of this gift. And thank you so much to our guests for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Farewell from Black Book
Talk.
Thank
you.
Just don't let the spin get you down.
KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy jueves 5 de febrero del 2026. Un relato del Departamento de Seguridad Nacional.